You are about to witness a revolution called PowerBook. It will let you run MS-DOS software. It will let you run Macintosh software. It will let you run away.
Plus, Minute Apple Conversation, you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. I'm so happy to say, joining me today, he's back from Italy, where he's been wearing, fresh off the plane from Italy. His neck is still covered in gold chains, and his stomach is full of spicy meatballs. Lewis Wallace is here.
Hey, it's great to be back. Kind of.
Tomorrow will be a living hell. Also joining us, he records from his local library, where his librarian said, "I don't know what a podcast is, but I'd like to take that little bearded man to the Kama Sutra section and show him a few things." Buster,
oh, really?
Is here.
God damn, I need to meet this hot librarian. Hopefully it's a hot librarian.
Yeah, no kidding, dude. Librarians, they know how to party. If there's one thing I've learned, librarians know how to party. So like I was saying, Lewis, thanks for joining us on such short notice. I wasn't expecting to have you back till next week, but you got back and you're like, what else do I have to do? The office is wide open. No one's been there for weeks. Got to go in there and make sure that all the stuff is still there and get some work done.
That is absolutely correct.
Has
all
everything
is well.
Completely fallen apart? Did Cult of Mac completely fall apart while you were gone?
I think it's been humming along. I looked at the traffic today when I look, I'm like, geez, I should take vacations more often because it seems like it's doing better when I'm not here. Not a good feeling.
Well, you all probably know there's not a lot of Apple stuff to talk about this week, but that's never stopped us before. So here we are. And I got my magnifying glass out and I looked all over the internet. I lifted up rocks and I left no stone unturned. We actually found some good stuff. And as many of you might know, CES, one of my favorite events of the entire year, the Consumer Electronics Show, is happening right now in Las Vegas. And strangely, Apple actually had it wasn't a public event, but it was a secretive press event at CES, which this might be a new precedent. I don't know if they have ever had any involvement in CES. They certainly have it in the last 7 or 8 years since I have been following Apple and we've been doing the show. I mean, they kind of always were the obvious omission. They would not take part of it, and it felt like they were doing it on purpose because they were like, who needs CES? We're Apple. We do our own thing. We don't need to be involved in some, you know, trough full of tech products. But here they are, y'all, and they're pushing HomeKit, and we got some interesting announcements about that. So we'll talk about the new announcements that have happened at CES that are Apple related. And Apple is adding integration with a bunch of new televisions, which is really exciting. They're adding AirPlay to all these new TVs, so we'll talk about that too. And Tim Cook says new services are coming to Apple in 2019. Some of you may have seen he's on a marketing tear. He was just on the Jim Cramer show, which I find it hilarious that when Tim Cook wants to assure everyone that Apple stock is doing well, he goes to Jim Cramer's show out of all people. I was like, does anyone actually take that guy seriously?
No.
I mean, he's kind of like, his show, I think, is popular, but he's kind of like a dancing stock clown. He just runs around and like, he's like the, who's that guy that breaks watermelons?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God.
He's that guy. He's that guy, except for stock. He runs around, he puts tarps on people, and he breaks watermelons, and he shouts and then tells you about financial, you know, news and that type of thing.
Gallagher.
That's right.
Gallagher.
By the way, Lewis, we saw Gallagher. I don't know if we ever told you at a previous CES. Gallagher was there,
and you mentioned this.
Yeah. He didn't break a watermelon on us or anything, but but Leander was drinking some type of fruity watermelon drink, so we were kind of like halfway there. And Tracy was enamored. I think she was She was starstruck. She was starstruck. She was looking at Gallagher, and then she's looking at Leander, and I think she was questioning her life choices. She's like, I could have ended up with that. if only I just played my cards right, I could have been living that Gallagher lifestyle, just flying around on private jets, doing private shows, making millions. All right, well, before we hop into the news for this week, let me go ahead and say thank you to LinkedIn for supporting this episode. With the new year ahead, it's time to set goals for your business, and making the perfect hire can set your team up for success. Where do you find that person? It's not easy to find high-quality talent like the people you hear on this podcast. Don't leave it up to chance. Post your job to LinkedIn, where people go every day to make connections, grow their careers, and discover new job opportunities. Most LinkedIn members aren't checking job boards regularly, but 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to and interested in new opportunities. With most of the U.S. workforce on LinkedIn, it's the best place to get your job opportunity in front of more of the right people with the right skills and the right background for your role, who are also ready for something new. It's the best way to find the person who will help you grow your business, and that's why a new hire is made every 8 seconds on LinkedIn. You know, I'll tell you what, I've been looking at the Cult Cast crew, and I've been thinking, maybe I should use LinkedIn now and see what else is out there. I mean, clearly, we have an excellent crew here, but I look at how often people are taking vacations. Leander is, you know, he's in Spain. He's been gone for weeks. Who knows when he'll get back? And I'm thinking we might need another British guy to fill in for the show. What better way than to hop on LinkedIn and actually be able to look over the person's resume before you just bring them onto the show, do some background checks, hire a real professional, maybe a radio professional, get some real talent on the show. Well, you can find the right people for your business this year at linkedin.com/cultcast and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/cultcast to get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions do apply. Okay, let's see here. It's 2019. CES is ongoing. And I think, Lewis, this might be the year of HomeKit. Now, you've been in Italy. You're probably not following any of the CES news, huh?
No. I haven't been exactly had my nose
to the... What have you been doing for the last 3 weeks? Anything productive at all?
Very productive, man. I've been putting on a little bit of weight.
Yeah. You gained like 30 to 40 pounds, I hear.
I think I gained 5.5 pounds in 3 weeks.
That's not bad. Yeah. I mean, what were you eating, spaghetti every night?
I did eat a little more pasta than usual. Got to get back to the Lose It app. Got to start keeping track of things. Got to take it back down a little bit.
Were you using the Lose It app while you were in Italy?
No, I lost it.
Good. That's good, though.
You know, that's the problem with calorie counting. I mean, yeah. You don't have any idea what's going on in the kitchen, right? How many ounces of oil did they dump into that thing? It's impossible.
You don't even want to know. I mean, calorie counting only makes you feel good about yourself when you're losing weight. When you're gaining weight, you're counting how many calories you're eating each day, and you're like, I'm a huge pig, and I'm going to gain a pound just by eating this meal. So you just got to, like, close the app and not look at it.
Yeah, you know, you got to take a break from everything once in a while.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, I know you and I have talked so much about HomeKit stuff over the last, I don't know, year and a half. Yes. I think this might be our year. You know, like, our main complaint is always that HomeKit just doesn't really have a lot of devices.
Yep.
And do you remember a while ago we talked about how Apple was going to be changing the way they certified devices for HomeKit? And previously, they were forcing manufacturers who wanted to have that made-for-HomeKit stamp on their box install a Apple authentication coprocessor in their hardware, which required a bunch of extra manufacturing work and expense. And a lot of manufacturers just said, nope, not going to do it. And there are a lot of open standards for smart devices now that are supported by Google and Alexa, which is why you see everyone support Amazon Alexa, it's one of the reasons why you see everyone support it, and Google. And I feel like Apple has acknowledged that they need to be more proactive, and that was one of the reasons why they made the switch in iOS 11.3, which was released in March, to allow manufacturers to build in HomeKit support with just a software integration, which they should have done right from the get-go. I don't know why they didn't. And now we're seeing the fruit of that labor pay off. So we saw Apple very quietly do some promotion of HomeKit at CES, and they are clearly going after different manufacturers and trying to get HomeKit integrated into different devices. And we got a bunch of announcements that these devices were going to start supporting HomeKit. One of the most exciting ones was the Arlo cameras, which the only thing that those devices were missing are HomeKit. Those are getting HomeKit now too, and they're releasing a new 4K camera, which looks very, very titillating, at least to me, because I love the Arlo stuff. We're getting new Belkin Wemo devices, new Eve devices, new Kinect Sense devices, new smart locks from Kwikset, new Nanoleaf lights, new NetAtmo, a new NetAtmo HomeKit connected doorbell, which is going to be the first HomeKit connected doorbell that exists. None of the other ones out there support HomeKit because they are they aren't compatible with Amazon Alexa, or I think the Nest is clearly supportive of Google Assistant because, you know, it's owned by Google. So I think this is going to be our year, Lewis. We're finally going to start seeing some good stuff.
Well, I hope you're right, but I seem to remember saying something similar about a year ago.
Well, we didn't see the software support for HomeKit announced or released until March. So I think that was the big holdup. And now, in fact, Arlo is announcing, they just announced that they are bringing HomeKit to their Arlo Pro 2 cameras, which have already been released. They've been out for like, I don't know, 6 months. So now these manufacturers can just support HomeKit via a firmware update. So I think now this is really it. Now we're really going to see it, Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, we are already seeing some of this. I mean, some of these software, not hardware, enabled HomeKit devices. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's absolutely true that it's been a long time coming, and it seems like, can we please just make it start happening? I mean, few months ago when they nuked the doorbell from the HomeKit thing entirely, right? And it's like, what's going on? Everybody kind of freaked out. I actually broke down and bought a Nest video doorbell not that long ago. Oh. 'Cause I'm just like, I want a video doorbell. I'm sick of waiting on a HomeKit one. And of course, you know, immediately after that, they announced this one by, what's it called? NetAtmo? I've never known how to pronounce that company.
I've used some of their products before. They released some iOS compatible weather stations, but this was like years ago. I didn't even know they were still around.
I got to get in touch with them, get a hold of this thing. I'm definitely excited about this stuff because, I mean, I love HomeKit. I'm super excited to keep adding this stuff to my house. And it always feels like, you know, like even this announcement, right? Oh, great, they're coming out with a HomeKit doorbell, you know, in 6 months or so. So it's, I think that it kind of puts the brakes on your purchasing and everything. I don't know. Don't you want it when you go to buy some kind of new thing for your house? Don't you want some smart device? Don't you want it to have HomeKit? And hasn't the fact that so many things aren't HomeKit compatible, hasn't that just really slowed down your adoption of smart things?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for me, if it's smart and it doesn't have HomeKit, it's really not that smart. You know, if it integrates with Amazon Alexa, I really couldn't care less about that because I'm not using anything in the Amazon ecosystem. And I don't really care to integrate with do they have an Amazon calendar? I don't even know. Or the Amazon services or the Amazon to-do list or whatever. I don't care about that stuff. And Google, I just don't trust. And the older I get, the more I distrust Google. And I don't want them having access to all my data. And what I like about the Apple stuff is I know the data is mine. Nothing's going to happen to it. And I like the fact that I can control everything from the Home app on my iPhone, which I absolutely love. And then now I can control things by speaking to my HomePods. So I don't want to start mix matching devices from all these different ecosystems. I was almost going to get a smart doorbell from Nest 2. I was thinking about getting one. And I kept almost buying it, and then I would not do it because I don't want to have another ecosystem in my house. I want to have everything linked into HomeKit. So I was really excited to see that doorbell from NetAtmo to Lewis, and I'll be honest, I already reached out to him.
Oh, yeah.
I jumped right on that,
Lewis. Did you get a reply?
No, I didn't. Haven't gotten a reply yet, so maybe they'll reply to you. But, you know, they're at CES. Their whole press team is probably at CES. They're not looking to get emails from,
right. There's another one, too. Did you read about there's one from something called Robin Telecom. They're saying, oh, we've got a HomeKit supported smart doorbell. I've never even heard of that company.
I haven't heard of that company either.
Although I can't pronounce it.
What's it called?
Robin Telecom.
Oh my gosh, they need to change that name ASAP. That is a terrible brand name. You got to have something sleek and sexy with these devices that people put in their home. They want something that rolls off the tongue. They don't want smart doorbells incorporated. Actually, that's actually not a bad doorbell name if you're just selling doorbells. But you know, you get my drift.
I'll tell you what, though, this thing. And again, you know, don't know this company, don't know when it's coming. And since we don't know it and we haven't seen it and all that, who knows? But it looks good. The picture that's out there looks awesome.
It's the most beautiful smart doorbell I've seen. That was the very first thing I thought about it. The Nest one I think is kind of fugly, and there's another one. I think Arlo's actually looks pretty decent, but theirs doesn't have as much integration as the Nest one. It doesn't do as much stuff, I don't think. And then there's another company that I'm forgetting that also makes smart doorbells. But
you mentioned Ring, right? I mean,
okay, that was the one I was thinking of. Ring, clearly, they I think theirs is probably the most popular, but theirs integrates with Amazon now, since Amazon bought them. Oh, and the other thing about this smart doorbell is, so the Ring actually is a really great device, but the problem is you have to pay them, I think it's like $8 a month to have video storage in the cloud, and I'm like, I am not trying to pay another company for more storage space. No thank you, ma'am. And the NetAtmo product, it uses micro SD, has a micro SD card slot. So you just slip that in there and you can use that to store and watch videos, which is actually really smart. I mean, what is the guy who is knocking on your door? Is he going to like try to get into your doorbell and take the SD card out? It's like, no, it's perfectly secure.
Is it?
I think so. Yeah.
How can it be?
Well, what is he going to do? Get a screwdriver out?
Hit it with a hammer?
Well, if he hits it with a hammer, then you're screwed anyway. I mean,
not if it's stored in the cloud.
But even if he hits it with a hammer, it's not going to damage the SD, the micro SD card.
Well,
it's
I meant hit it with a hammer and knock it off and pop the card. But whatever. Mostly secure.
but if he walks up to your door and he hits your Nest doorbell with a hammer, it's going to stop uploading that video, I guarantee you, you know?
Right, but it'll get him on the way up there.
What do you mean? What? No, it won't, because he's going to hit it with a hammer, and it's just going to break, and your video is going to be lost forever.
No, I mean, you know, as he approaches with the hammer.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It might upload
part
of
him with the hammer.
Well, I don't think... Hey, who lives in your neighborhood? I think you need to live in a better neighborhood.
A lot of guys
with
hammers.
That's the problem. No one's walking up to my door with any hammers, dude. Like, if anything, they want to be discreet. They're not walking up with a big sledgehammer. They just want to know if you're home. So some of you might be thinking, what's the point of even having a doorbell like this? Because I was wondering that at first, too. But a lot of guys who are about to come into your house and rob you, they ring your doorbell first to see if you're home. So the idea is the device pings your phone, and you could say, hey, I'm here. I'm here in my bedroom. I'm totally nude, polishing my shotgun. What can I do for you? And they're like, oh,
feeling twitchy.
Nothing, sir. Have a good day. And they leave. Or what happened to me today? This happens to me all the time. I swear the UPS trucks have been renovated and they have like quieter mufflers. You know when a delivery guy pulls up to your house, normally you can hear him because the trucks are so loud. Well, I knew my MacBook Pro was going to be delivered today, so I have been intentionally looking out the window all day long, and then for 5 minutes, I stopped checking, and I get a ping on my phone. It's the deliveries app, and it said, the UPS just tried to deliver your package, and sorry we missed you. If I would have had a smart doorbell, as soon as he ringed it, it would have pinged my phone, and I would have looked outside and said, uh-oh, and I would have ran to the door and gotten the package.
Right.
But total aside, so... I wasn't about to let that stop me, Lewis. So yeah. I heard that UPS truck drivers can only make right-hand turns because it's like a liability thing for them. You know, they do all this crazy research at UPS to try to figure out how they can be safer when they're driving, and then also how they can operate in the most efficient manner, right? So I was like, the guy's got to be close. He can only make right-hand turns. So I run out to my car and I bolt down my driveway, and I'm going up the hill, and he's nowhere to be found. I'm like, this guy, he just tried to deliver this package. How can he be gone already? So I'm going through my neighborhood doing right-hand turns looking for him. And I made it probably 6 blocks away, and I'm like, okay, this guy is gone. There's no way I'm going to find this guy. And I have a very unique looking UPS guy. He actually looks like a drill sergeant. He's this huge, tall, bald guy, and he's totally ripped. And he never smiles. So I was like, if I see his truck, I'm going to recognize him in there immediately. So I start heading back home. Well, wouldn't you know it, right as I'm heading back, he pulls out literally right in front of me. And I see that beautiful, bald, glistening head of his. And I was like, no way. I was on my way home. So I tail him to his next location, which is like a block away. I follow him the whole way there. I park right behind him. He's getting out to deliver some packages, and he looks at me and he kind of recognizes me, and he's totally confused as to why I'm standing there in front of him. And he's like, hi, what can I do for you? And I held up my slip and I'm like, you forgot something, my man. And I got it right here. And he's like, well, that's great. I can't believe you found me. And I was like, I couldn't either. And I heard you guys could only make right-hand turns, so I figured I could find you close by. And he looked at me kind of puzzled, and then he laughed his ass off. And he's like, what? He's like, we can go any direction we want, dude. He's like, of course we can make left-hand turns.
I'm glad
we can go straight.
That.
We can go left. We can go right. Anywhere we need to go, we can go. And I was like, well, then it's amazing that I found you, because I've been spidering this neighborhood looking for you for the last 10 minutes. So I've got my MacBook Pro right in front of me. I'm transferring everything over to it right now. And it is a beautiful machine. Let me tell you, this space gray. Oh my goodness, I was wrong. I wasn't a fan of it when I saw it at the Apple Store. What I didn't take into account are the different lighting conditions. You know, the Apple Store has a very specific way of lighting their store, and the MacBook Pro looks totally different when you have it in different kinds of lighting conditions. And it is one sexy machine. It's like if you dressed up a Terminator in like a sexy outfit, put some lipstick on it. That's a bad analogy. Actually, no, it's not. Did you see Terminator 3 with the sexy Terminator who would rip your head off? No? Okay,
I
guess it was just me.
That. I don't know if I remember seeing that. Sexy actually, Terminator that'll rip your head off?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So in Terminator 3, it was a real sexy female Terminator. And they sent it back to like try to like go on a Tinder date with John Connor. And, you know, as soon as he tries to swipe right, it will rip his head off. It was actually a great Terminator. It was I forget the dude's name. Of course, Arnold was in it. And then it was Claire Danes, my eternal crush, was also in the movie. But it was a great Terminator. That was the last one I saw, because I heard that they went off the rails after that. What were we talking about? I have no idea. Oh, yeah. I can't believe we talked this long about doorbells. Anyway. I love HomeKit devices. I know you do too. I think this is going to be our year. In fact, I just heard that what's the name of the company? They make routers. They start with a T. I can't remember, but they also make smart plugs, and they have been making smart plugs that are compatible with Google and Amazon Alexa, because every smart device out there is compatible with both those ecosystems. And they just announced that they're going to be adding HomeKit support to their smart plugs. So not only is this going to mean that we're going to have a plethora more, not only does this mean we're going to have a lot more HomeKit devices out there, we're going to get cheaper HomeKit devices now, because these manufacturers can very cheaply integrate HomeKit with their existing technology, and they don't have to build in some proprietary Apple chip. So this is going to be great for all of us that love HomeKit stuff. By the way, a bunch of other HomeKit stuff that was announced. IKEA just announced their HomeKit-enabled shades. Did you hear about this?
Oh, yeah.
Super cheap. These would be great for your van, I think, Buster, when you're trying to sleep in.
That's true, although the van's small enough, I can just put shades down myself, I think.
Oh, you just reach up and pull them down. But the great part about IKEA and what they're doing is they, of course, sell on a massive scale. So they bring the prices down on all this stuff. And their HomeKit-enabled shades are dirt cheap. I think they were like the same price as my manual shades, maybe like $80-$90 a shade. So that's going to be something that you'll have the option of buying, I think, in the next few months. And then, of course, the big announcement with all the TVs getting AirPlay integration. Buster, would you care to enlighten us on this story?
All the TVs are getting AirPlay integration and HomeKit integration. Samsung, Sony, Vizio, LG. I think those were like the four major ones that announced that they're adding like HomeKit and Apple or AirPlay 2 support, which will like allow you to download things from iTunes straight to your TV, which will be really cool. And also, I was thinking it's what'll be cool for it. It's also for Apple's upcoming TV service. You won't need an Apple TV to like share the content from your phone to like your new TV. So it kind of like is a workaround for that in some ways.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah. Astute observation. So I think only the Samsung TVs are getting iTunes movies and the TV app integration, with the rest of the manufacturers just getting AirPlay. Oh, no, Sony gets HomeKit as well,
they
I guess.
They all got HomeKit. They all got AirPlay, too. They all got the same thing that Samsung's is. It's all the same, and you can buy iTunes stuff on all of them, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, well, I'll have to check into this because I thought that they're getting HomeKit and AirPlay 2, but the Samsung TVs are also getting, and they're exclusively getting, iTunes movies and TV app.
I'm not sure about that. I know, like, the Samsung was the first one to announce it, and then everybody else said that they are all
piled
getting the
on.
Exact same
okay.
thing.
Well, this is great news regardless, and these are going to be in their 2019 models, but they also announced support for a bunch of 2018 TVs. So you'll get functionality for AirPlay and HomeKit and iTunes movies and TV app. Depending on what TV you actually own, you'll get support for your 2018 TV as well via a firmware update, which is a great bit of functionality, especially if you own Sony TVs. So I love Sony televisions. They make some of the best. They have some of the best picture quality on the market. I was going to buy an LG OLED TV, I think, last year. And I went to Best Buy to look at them and make my purchase choice, right? And the guy was like, have you seen the Sony OLED TVs? And I was like, no, I'm not really a huge Sony guy. And besides, the Sony TVs use the exact same panel as the LG TVs do. In fact, LG makes the panel for Sony. And he's like, you should at least look at it. So I looked at them side by side, and it was a night and day difference. The Sony picture quality was heads and tails above LG, even though LG was the one that gave Sony the panel. Like, Sony added their own hardware and customized the look of the picture to make it look sharper. It was way sharper. The colors were better. It was so good that I actually ended up not buying anything because I couldn't afford the Sony TV, and it sullied my enthusiasm for the LG TV. So I'm still using my old TV from like 2008 still, because I was like, if I can't have the good stuff, I'm getting nothing. So Sony, though, their TVs are powered by the horrendously slow piece of poo OS Android TV. And if you read the reviews for Sony televisions, everyone loves them, but everyone complains that Android TV is, as I mentioned, a horrendous piece of poo. It's slow. It constantly stops working. It's buggy. And now you'll have, as Steve Jobs put it, they're going to be giving a glass of ice water to people in hell. You'll be able to use the AirPlay 2 functionality to override your terrible Sony Android TV experience, and now you'll have HomeKit support as well. So you'll be able to do a lot of stuff straight from your TV. So again, Lewis, I think we're going to have a great year for HomeKit devices. We should review as many as we can get our hands on, Lewis.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just
get a TV for every room.
Oh, hey, you know what? Boom! I just had a revelation. Now that they're adding Apple TV support to all these different televisions, AirPlay 2, we need to be requesting review units, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think about that. We got to do this before Leander realizes what's going
yeah,
on.
And then he takes all the review units.
Yeah, because Leander will get all the TVs, and he'll never even unbox them. They'll sit in his basement gathering dust and cobwebs for the next 10 years, and then we'll be blacklisted.
You're going to need the smart doorbell to make sure you get all these TVs stacked up on your front porch properly.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I think we should do, you know what would be cool? We could do like a double review where we get two of each and then like we each give our opinions on the same product. That would actually be a cool premise for like a YouTube show or something. So yeah, we need to get on this. We need to start reaching out to these press departments. I call shotgun on Sony. LG makes great TVs too, though. I mean, you'd be very happy with an LG TV, trust me. Okay, so that wraps up the TV news, but, well, actually, I guess not entirely, because one of the other stories that we have coming out of CES this week, actually, this isn't out of CES at all, but it's related, isn't it? This is Tim Cook on Jim Cramer's show, and Jim Cramer was drilling him for information. He's trying to get Tim Cook to break, and you can't crack the cookie. I mean, what the hell was he thinking? Tim Cook, he's as stoic as it possibly gets, and he doesn't crack. He's a real pro. And the one thing he was willing to say, though, to Jim Cramer during this interview was that services are on a tear, y'all. And he drummed up how great services are doing, how much money they're making Apple. And then he said they're going to be announcing more services in 2019. So we have at least a couple on the way. Buster, if you had to take a guess as to which services we're going to see from Apple, what would your guess be? I bet you're going to guess exactly.
Well,
right.
Like TV, and then maybe healthcare, because Tim Cook has talked about how healthcare will be like the most important thing Apple ever does, and they have the employee healthcare centers now, I believe. We don't really hear too much about that, but I always thought that Apple's big play for healthcare was to open up like healthcare clinics modeled off of their employee ones.
Another astute observation. You're on a tear tonight.
Oh, like, that's what they pay me for, man. I haven't been doing this for 8 years for nothing.
That's why you've been paid tens of dollars. Yeah. So, and Tim Cook had said a while ago that they were excited about these Apple healthcare centers and possibly even, and this is me now, not Tim, but possibly even making these centers available to everyday consumers. And we had talked about how Apple could be positioning themselves to actually become a healthcare provider, because they're already doing this for their, I don't know how many employees they have. I would guess like 100,000. And they're already doing this on a small scale with their own employees. Well, what if they were able to figure out a way to do healthcare more cheaply for just everyday people? That would be really interesting to see them do. But that's actually not what I was thinking of. I was thinking of their magazine service. Because they bought Texture last year, which was that service that basically aggregates all the magazines in the world and lets you read them on your iPad for $9.99 a month.
Yeah, who wants that? Like, who's excited about magazine subscriptions? Who even buys magazines anymore, digital or otherwise, physical? It's like, that just doesn't get
that
my
was
nipples
exactly
really
my
hard,
thought.
You know?
Yeah, mine at all. In fact, it makes them soft. Like, yeah. I could be standing in a ice cold freezer and I would have soft nipples if you told me this news.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who pays for magazines either. Magazines are a relic from the 90s.
Yeah.
And clearly people aren't buying them in print anymore. But I mean, I guess the content in the magazine is still valuable in some way. I would never personally pay for magazines, but maybe people out there like magazines still.
Yeah, the content from the magazines is great, but like magazines only come out once a month, and so you have content that's been like stewing for, you know, months at a time, and some of it might already be outdated. I don't know. Lewis worked at a magazine for a long time. Like, do you think magazines are irrelevant now, Lewis?
Well, you know, it's journalism, and yeah, magazines are still relevant because they actually have the staff to, you know, produce quality journalism. They have great writers. They have money. They have fact checkers.
Well, the institutions are valuable. I just don't think the format of magazines themselves are relevant anymore.
Well, Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you the last time I bought an actual physical magazine, but I can tell you that there are plenty of great articles that, you know, we read all the time, right, in magazines. Yeah. So, I think would be exciting if Apple was to do this is to come out with something that's not just, you know, a bunch of monthly or weekly magazines, but also a bunch of really high caliber newspapers. I mean, you know, I read a hell of a lot of news every day, and I'm constantly running into paywalls. And you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to pay, subscribe to, you know, some newspaper, you know, like in Arizona or something. Yeah. So I hit a paywall, and I say, forget it. Sorry, bye. Never. I don't read that story. If Apple could figure out some kind of way to... This is an old idea, right? The micropayments or whatever, you know, but so that people actually get some money and come up with something that's like an Apple Music for news,
yeah,
or a Spotify for news, so that all these different publishers could be in and we could get rid of this paywall crap that, I mean, having a paywall for like a, you know, the San Francisco Chronicle, I mean, I do pay them money because I don't want journalism to die in the town I live in. Although you might say it's half dead already, but
that's okay. You know, it will live on at cultamac.com.
Right. I think a lot of people subscribe to papers in their town just to support the journalism, you know, because I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about that, but I know I do. It's almost like an altruistic, like I feel like I'm donating to a nonprofit or something, but. If Apple could figure out a way to get a whole bunch of this content in and let the money, you know, get divided up among the people to produce it, I mean, it'd be great. And that's kind of the thing that Apple likes to do, right? And I think, honestly, Apple News, that app, has really grown on me over the time that it's been out because it's a great-looking format. It's free, right? But it's all there. I could absolutely see myself paying a little bit more a month to have more stuff in there. And if Apple makes it, you know, pitches it like, hey, we're support, you know, this is how you contribute. This is how you give back to journalism. You know, we're not going to have it filled up with all this advertising clutter. We're not going to have you're not going to have to pay each individual person. You're not going to have all these pop-ups that say sign in or, you know, you've got three more articles this month. I mean, I don't know. If they could pull something like that off, I think that it would fit with their worldview, which is sort of altruistic in a lot of ways. I mean, they're always trying to be a force for good. And I think that Apple would say that journalism is a force for good on the planet. So
my local newspaper, the Seattle Times, I think they're struggling too, as all local newspapers seem to be. And I don't read the Seattle Times very often, but every time I go to their site, I always think I should read this more. It's actually really interesting because, I mean, they're actually focused on Seattle. They talk about news of things that are happening around Seattle, and you never hear local news other than from your local newspaper. So I would hate to see them go out of business, but in the same sense, I actually don't want to pay for their service at all, and I can't be bothered to not block their ads on their website. So I hope that you're right. I hope that Apple is able to figure something out and is able to help these newspaper companies monetize and keep their staffs and doing the work that they do. I have to say, though, Apple News, I'm trying to like it, Lewis. I really am trying to like it, but it must take a lot of training to get it to work the way I want it to, because I keep trying to tell it what I like and what I don't, but it keeps feeding me sources from stuff or articles from sources that I really don't want to see. And the sources,
what, like New York Times, or
like if I see that little low T Brian Stelter pop up on my feed one more time, I'm gonna uninstall Apple News. I'll just tell you that right now.
You know,
and they pop up the news in the most intrusive ways because they think that the news is stuff that you want to see. Like on my Apple Watch, I was scrolling through the faces, and lo and behold, there's a face that has Apple News stories in it, and it's popping up stuff from like all sorts of like sources that I just don't want to see. I don't want to see this stuff on my Apple Watch, and I got to figure out how to get to actually show me stuff I want to see. Like I want to see, I don't know, like show me stuff from InfoWars and from I'm joking. I just triggered like 2,500 people just got triggered. But you know, yeah. I got to figure out how to trade it to show me stuff. I like greatabs.com, you know, and Men's Daily and you know, those type of really manly websites that I visit daily.
Have you spent any time at all telling it what sources you want?
I think I did when I first got my iPad Pro. I did open it up again and I tried to tailor the sources, but you know, honestly, I haven't spent a ton of time in there. So clearly, if you're liking it, Lewis, you must have trained the hell out of it to show you stuff that you actually wanted to see.
Well, I mean, once you select a few sources that you like, that helps. Although, one of the things that's most prominent is like, you know, the what's trending or whatever. And that's always like garbage from People Magazine of all
yeah,
things.
Okay.
Talk about things that don't need to exist. People Magazine. Oh, my God.
Right.
But those are like the most successful popular magazines are like the fodder.
Right. Well, yeah I mean, it's at least it's properly labeled, you know, trending. It doesn't say smart or intelligent or must read. It says trending.
I think that's what I was looking at, too, was the trending section. And I'm like, BuzzFeed is at the very top. And it's like, how to know 5 ways you can tell if your dog is cleaning his ball sack too much. I'm like, I don't need to see this on my iPad. How do I get rid of this entire section? I just don't even want to see it. But I don't think that you can. I want to see stuff that's relevant to my interests.
Well, you know, pick out a few sources that you really like. And you can also add sort of, you know, topics. Like I can add darts. You know, I've got so I get some darts news in there every now and then, you know.
Darts news.
Not all
darts
that much
news.
Darts
com.
News, except for, you know, the big fart gate. That was a pretty big darts story.
Oh, did it? Was someone found to be shaving like the tips of the darts to make them lighter so they penetrate the board better or something?
No, Fartgate. You haven't heard about Fartgate?
No, I haven't heard
about
Fartgate.
No, I thought you were. No, I can't say that I have.
No, there's a big controversy in the darts world. Big controversy.
Big stink?
Yeah, quite a big stink. Yeah, someone was accused of, well, actually, both players said, yeah, there's, you know, a horrible smell on the stage. And
oh.
So they both kind of accused each other, and then it became maybe it's the announcer,
maybe
it was the fat security. I think it was finally like the security guard or something, you know. But you know,
so wait a second. Somebody was accusing the other guy of farting too much to like throw off his competitor's game,
right.
And it turned out to be a security guy who ate too many nachos.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, and you know, the great
thing
is
one of
the
best stories of 2019, right there.
Yeah, it
that's
was
hilarious.
Awesome. One of the guys involved is this great darts player named Gary Anderson, and he's Scottish. And I swear to God, they're interviewing him, and it's like I had to listen to that interview like 5 times before I could even understand 6 words. The guy's got such a thick accent; he might as well be speaking Klingon.
That would actually be pretty cool if he didn't speak Klingon. Oh my gosh, Fartgate, the big dart upset. It's all over ESPN. Fartgate, whoever spilled it, dealt it, will be the...
I'm surprised you guys haven't heard this.
Yeah, I don't keep up on my fart or dart news or fart news, so...
I'm pretty big on the fart news stuff, but yeah, not the darts. I've got keywords set for fart news, though. I get all those stories. So I'm surprised I didn't have this come up either. All right, let me run through the last 2 pieces of this story, and then we should just wrap it up because there's nowhere we're gonna top that Fartgate story. So, one of the other 2 interesting tidbits of information that came out from this interview with Tim Cook, all sorts of great juicy tidbits, was on iPhone XR not selling that well. Tim Cook got serious. He used some of the harshest language I've ever seen him use in an interview. He said, "That's baloney, y'all," and Jim Cramer was like taken aback. He could tell that he really offended Tim because Tim was getting so real. He called it baloney. Yeah,
that quote is hilarious. I thought you made that up when I saw that in the show
notes. No.
I went and checked it.
The only way it could have gotten more real than that is if he would have called it malarkey. Then they would have ended the interview
right there.
And then Tim Cook went on to say that the iPhone XR has been the most popular iPhone every single day since its release, which I don't know if that means that it's really, really incredibly popular or if the other phones or all
well.
The phones just aren't. Yeah,
there
exactly,
was a report yesterday that like the iPhone XS is already like there are fewer iPhone XS's in use than 10Rs, but the XS Max is still more popular just based on like data's from like websites and or some like I don't know analytics firm like seeing like the more popular handsets. So it sounds like the 10R is super popular.
Man, I love my 10R. It's one of the best phones I've ever owned. I mean, I'm not going to go on a tangent and tell you all why I love it again. I think I've done that enough in the past. But man, the camera alone on this phone is just unbelievable. It's such a great camera. I mean, of course, the 10S and the 10S Max both have the same camera, but they're also, you know, hundreds of dollars more. The other thing that he said was that he was talking about wearables is that with the Apple Watch and AirPods, if you mash those two businesses together, that their revenue for wearables is, and he counts those two categories as wearables, is 50% more than it was, or 50% more now than it was when iPod was at its peak. So it's the business is 150% larger than it was when Apple was selling the most iPods it was ever selling. And I thought, wow, that puts it in context, because iPods, you know, launched Apple into the stratosphere, and then of course, you know, iPhone took them and put them into a different galaxy. But where am I going with this? I have no idea. All that to say that Apple's making buku bucks, y'all, on their wearables business. And especially now with their Apple Watch 4. Lewis, I was just going to say, we should do like a whole Cultcast mini episode just on our Apple Watches, because I've been using mine for, 4 weeks now?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a joy, isn't it?
It's the second screen for my iPhone that I never knew that I wanted. And now that I have it, I have fallen in love with it.
I told you, man.
I didn't believe you. I didn't believe you, because I thought to myself, how much better could this be than my Series Zero?
Yeah.
It's a night and day difference. It's what the Apple Watch should have always been. It's like, it would be like if you took the original iPhone and compared it to the iPhone 10. There is that much difference between the two devices. I mean, they look completely different. The polish is totally different. The capabilities are totally different. The speed is outrageously better. I could go on. But you know what? My Apple Watch is already scratched. No. I had my Series Zero for 4 years on a single scratch. I got a big old scratch on the top of my screen already.
What did you do?
I have no idea. I've been babying this thing. I treat it nicer than my daughter.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if I should take it in and say, hey, y'all, what's going on with this big old scratch? You can't even see it unless you hold it at like the right angle. So I'm kind of wondering if maybe my iPhone or my Apple Watch came scratched and I just didn't notice. And I noticed it for the first time last night.
Damn. Yeah, take it back.
I don't know. I kind of feel like a big chode if I take a Apple Watch
it's
in there.
It's a
and
sapphire like, display, though. You know, it's not
supposed to scratch.
Yeah. Is it a sapphire display?
Yeah, the glass on the front, isn't it? I thought it was. But
maybe I thought it was.
Maybe the back is. Okay.
Yeah, the back is. I got the cheaper model. I think it's the
really, it's
I don't
not
know,
sapphire
the,
on the front
Ion.
Of the Apple Watch anymore. I thought it used to be.
Not on the Sport Edition. I think it's just the whatever Ion glass.
Dang.
But it should be hard to scratch, and you should notice if you do something that would scratch it, right? Like you hit your watch up against something, or you put your watch in your pocket with your keys. I mean, mine has lived its life on my wrist and on a charging pedestal, and it's never touched anything but my beautifully soft, supple skin, which gets moisturized several times a day.
Several times.
So. Oh, yeah. Once isn't enough. Okay, anyway. Should we go ahead and wrap it up there?
Yes, please.
I think that we should.
I want to go. I want to get out of here.
Yeah, this show stopped being interesting about 20 minutes ago, but we kept it rolling.
As soon as the doorbell conversation started, that's when you lost me.
Yeah, but at least it was only 20 minutes long. You only had to endure it for a full 20 minutes. Well, you know what, Buster? If you had a doorbell on your van, you might be more at stake. You put a doorbell on the outside of that van, you press it, and Buster opens like the sliding door, and he's like, yes, he's got a robe on and his fez. In fact, if you want me to get you a Cult Club robe and fez, I'd be happy to do that for you.
Sick.
All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come reach out to us and say hi, we're on Twitter. I'm at Aerofon. Buster's BST3R. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Do you know like the Italian for next time, Lewis?
Arrivederci.
Oh, there you go. Arrivederci. Yeah, you gotta make that kissy thing with your fingers.
Hey.
Oh my god.
Buster killed it this episode.
Got you.
Yeah, thank you. If only you would have remembered or reminded me to do the Coltcast United update. Son of a gun.
Oh. Wait, so what is going on there?
Postscript.
Yeah. Well, we just, you know, look, I thought this was going to be a great idea, and I was real excited about it to announce it. I worked extra hard getting everything together, and when I looked last, I think we hadn't even raised $1,000. So.
Oh, you have a GoFundMe and everything for
it? Yeah, that was the whole point. We were trying to raise money to do a Coltcast United where we had Buster and me fly to San Francisco. We were going to do a live episode called Coltcast United, everyone together in the same room. We record a Coltcast together, and then we were going to do our pilgrimage to Cupertino, where we went and looked at all the best historical Apple sites, you know, San Francisco has to offer. Well, I guess the Silicon Valley has to offer, but we've raised hardly any money, so I'm not sure what we're going to do at this point.
Is it actually close to $1,000?
Let's see here. The last I checked, let's see here. Coltcast. Oh, I got to go to GoFundMe.com/Coltcast. We're at $968 out of our $5,000.
I'm surprised. Yeah.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I think I might have described it poorly because so here's what we were trying to do. I mean, I was trying to raise money for enough money for Buster and I to go to San Francisco. We're going to do the Coltcast United and then also do our pilgrimage to, you know, Cupertino. And then if we had raised $7,500, which I knew was a lot of money, I was going to fly one of our listeners out to do the entire trip with us. But I think I described it in a way where people thought they had to donate like $25 to be eligible to do that, which was not what I was trying to say at all. Anyone who donated was eligible to be selected to come, but if you donated more than $25, you were going to have additional, additional opportunities to be selected. So think of it like a big hat. Everyone throws their name into the hat. If you donate more than $25, your name might go into the hat twice or three times. So for every extra $25 you donate, your name goes into the hat one more time, so it increases your opportunity to be selected to come. Anyway, all that to say, we have not raised enough money, and I don't think that we're going to raise enough money at this point. I mean, we need I'm talking about flying you and me to San Francisco. We need lodging for 3 days, and then we need to rent cars. We might need to rent equipment. So I honestly don't think we can do it for less than $4,000. I did $5,000 just to be conservative,
yeah,
just in case.
We could lower the price by having Buster drive.
Yeah,
and
I was gonna say
sleep in his van.
Right, exactly. It's like, oh, you could just pay for my gas money if you wanted.
You got, and then we could just sleep in your van.
Yeah,
together.
You got two
bunks.
Well, the dog takes up a lot, most of the bed space. Actually, I'm lucky to get to sleep in the van.
Sorry, Buster. What were you saying? Say it again.
I was saying, yeah, I could drive up in the van and you could sleep in it, but the dog takes up most of the space in the bed, so. Yeah.
I was just gonna say, isn't you have that giant ass dog in there? He's like not even a dog; it's like a hound.
Yeah,
a giant dire wolf. I don't know what we're gonna do at this point, but we got to figure out something. And I'll just say, if we don't raise enough money, I'm gonna refund everyone's money, so you don't have to worry about that. I'm not gonna just pocket it and buy myself, you know, some piece of technology or something. I'll refund everyone's money. I have no problem doing that, but I don't know what we're gonna do next. So if you haven't donated and you want to, go to GoFundMe.com/Coltcast. This entire situation, I think, is really funny. It's also slightly embarrassing, but it reminded me of when I was a kid, I was coming around the corner in my pajamas that were kind of loose on me, and my friends scared me, and I jumped up, and my pants fell down. And I'm like, that's kind of what I feel like here in this situation. It's like, it's funny. It's kind of funny, but I'm also like, I'm standing here with my pants down, so I'm kind of going to collect myself and figure out what we're going to do next. But I would love to make this happen. So if you would like to see us all together to do a live recorded episode in San Francisco, we could use your support. GoFundMe.com/Coltcast. And if we can raise $7,500, maybe less, we'll see. If I can do it for less, I will. We'll fly somebody out to do the trip with us. But if not, we'll just do, I don't know, we'll figure out something else that's exciting for our 7-year anniversary. You know, maybe I'll just fly Buster to Seattle and you and I will just go spend the money at our local pubs and we'll record it for Instagram. How about that? So that's where we are. Hello, Buster.
Hey.
You're sounding good.
Thanks.
Are you at the library?
No, I'm at a hotel.
What? Whoa. Oh, that's right. Yeah. You left. That's right.
Yeah.
You're in New Mexico.
Yeah, I'm in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oh, my gosh. I've always wanted to go there. I like the weather. I like the scenery.
Yeah, it's cold. It's cold out here. It's very rustic. Lots of Native American and Hispanic culture. It's one of the oldest towns in the U.S., so.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was, like, founded in, like, 1610, like, right when, like, the pilgrims came to Jamestown.
Look at you with all your history. Dude, I'm trying to show off. 1610, Jamestown, pilgrims. Are you wearing a bolo?
No.
That's too bad. You got to get a turquoise bolo.
Yeah, that's that dude. Yeah, that's totally the style here. I think you can only really pull those off in Santa Fe too. So as soon as you leave, it just doesn't really work.
I don't know. One of my friends just started wearing a bolo, like a serious, actual bolo.
Oh, really?
I saw him the other day, and he had a bolo on. And I couldn't tell if he was being serious, but then he asked me. He held it up. And he's like, "Do you like my bolo?" I was like, "Oh yeah, man, that's a beauty. Are you wearing that for real tonight?" "Oh yeah, man." He got it in San Diego or something.
Nice.
And, yeah, he bought it from some shop that makes their own leather. And so I was like, cool, man. That's a good look. That's a unique look for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Hey, Chubby or Lou?
Yeah.
Are you still there?
Chubby or Lou? All that pasta.
Couldn't weigh myself every day and count every single calorie.
Yeah, and why would you want to? You're on vacation in Italy.
Yeah, what's the point, really?
You got to do as those Italians do. Just let it all hang out. Put on the Speedo, put on the silver chain, and just walk the beach and look at the ladies.
Yeah, well, you know, breakfast wine, maybe not your best diet habit to get into.
I didn't even know that was an option.
Well, sure it is.
Why not? Don't tell Leander. He's going to move. Actually, I don't think he likes wine. His would be a breakfast beer of some kind.
Wine seems more civilized. I don't know. I always feel smarter when I'm drinking wine.
Yeah, but we're talking about LK here.
Burn!
Sick burn. I wish he was here to hear that. He would probably think that was funny.